It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. Well, Christmas is almost upon us.
It is, and I have no idea if I'm ready for shopping or not, or I haven't done anything.
You haven't done nothing?
No, that's not true. I've done something. I've done one, and I've hidden it really well. That's great.
And you don't know where it is?
No. I know where it is.
Is that mine, or Kelly's, or?
It's yours.
Oh, how sweet that is. Is it on four wheels?
Could be. We'll see if we can.
Skateboard?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, you've been out sunning on the beach in Mexico.
Dude,
what is that about?
I had the absolute time of my life.
Some of us are working our tail here.
Dude, I worked my tail off down there. I spent a lot of international long distance calling. The reality is,
am I paying part of that bill?
No, it's mine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
We had the time of our life out fishing.
Fishing.
Caught a marlin. Snagged a marlin.
We caught a marlin. You caught a marlin.
You were with me in spirit.
No wonder I felt so excited that afternoon.
We met this family from Alaska, and the guy that we went with is just this incredible ultimate fisherman. He was fun. He was great. He was ultimate fisherman. And then Chewy was our captain. And Chewy, I don't know.
Chewbacca?
Something like that. It was hilarious. But we snagged a 140-pound marlin. And
we again.
Yeah.
You
I was
you.
There. Yeah.
You.
Everyone in the boat is doing something.
Is credited with snagging a marlin.
Yeah.
Was it on the end of your rod or one of your kids?
No, on the end of Dale's rod. The one that we got to the boat.
Yeah.
And pulled it up. We actually let it go, but we hauled it up, and it was incredible. It's Jared doing a video. It is great. And
wow. You didn't bring the video?
Not for an audible podcast. If we did a video cast.
I got a video of my sewer line.
Okay, but you know the cool thing is, I actually on my rod then caught one, snagged, hooked a marlin. At the same time, we hooked an El Dorado, which is like a mahi mahi, and they had to cut that loose because otherwise it just gets tangled mess. I got mine within 10 feet of the boat, and then the sucker snapped.
So let me get that back up a little bit. Is there a mahi mahi swimming around out there with a hook in its lip?
I don't know. I was too busy trying to keep my chair in the boat.
Well, that's why I don't like these things.
So here's the deal.
I'm much kinder to animals.
I know, but it was beautiful. And so I lost my marlin. They said it's a long-distance release. And so it's like, oh, okay. But I landed a pelican. I reeled it in all the way, and I never lost the pelican. Totally landed the pelican. It was... When you're using bait that, look, when we go up to Shaver Lake,
yeah,
I realize we catch bait up at Shaver Lake. They got these, like, foot-long fish that are big. That's what the marlin eat.
Ah.
Okay.
So you're throwing that big fish out there and...
Yeah, and it's still alive, and it's being tortured because it's on a nasty hook and all that stuff. But the birds,
I know that Greenpeace and everybody, and then PETA. I was just with on Arizona.
PETA. But stop.
People eating tasty animals. That's the other people.
Great.
Let me get my joke out.
Okay,
and
sorry.
Go
sorry.
Do your deal.
I asked too. I said, what's that? Because there's a whole bunch of birds up there, and that's where he learned to fish. It's like you watch the birds because the birds dive down and get the fish. He says, oh, that's a Mexican fish bandit. Well, that's its phylum class name. It's like, no, watch what they do to your bait. Put the bait out there. We're trolling. These birds are diving down. So finally, and we get our bait out there, and then this nasty pelican just dive bombs and snags my line. And we're trying to speed up the boat, trying to get it out of the pelican's mouth, and the pelican just gobbles it.
The fish.
It's down the pelican's throat.
The hook is down his throat. Okay.
Chewy slams the boat.
Okay, I can't.
Next thing you know, we hook the pelican, and I'm sitting there going like, okay, great. What do we do now? He said, reel it in. Reel it in? This is not right. I'm out here to catch fish, not birds.
Did you get to keep it? Did you stuff it?
I thought I was going to drown on the way in. It took about 10 minutes to reel the pelican in.
Gosh.
And then this guy is such a ship's captain guy. He just grabbed the pelican, pulled the hook out, and let the bird go on its way. I sat there going, that's hilarious.
Oh, wow.
It's just funny. So we had a wonderful time down there. So
great.
I loved it.
Me, I went to Arizona.
I lost a marlin, but I landed a pelican.
Oh, and
talk
me,
about a fisherman.
I went to Arizona.
What'd you do in Arizona? I know you did in Arizona. I called you.
Yeah, I was working with some folks down there, some books we are doing up the road, and that was a lot of fun. Although some of them aren't announcing it yet, so why should we?
They're not?
Let's keep it secret.
It's secret?
Some of it.
They're good, though.
I'll fill you in on all that eventually.
They're
and then
good.
I got to hang out with some, gosh, some great people up in Prescott, Arizona on Friday and Saturday.
I've driven through there.
Lovely. Gosh, great journey, finding some fresh life in Jesus and all that good stuff. And that was really, really, I mean, a great time with them. A great, you know, just a young couple comes up from Phoenix to join us for the day because I'm up there. Don't know anybody in the group. Come in, and next thing they know, they're sitting at this table talking to this couple. And this young couple's in their 20s. I don't want to say young 30s, but they probably in their 20s. And the other couple's in late 60s maybe. And they're talking like they've known each other all their lives. And the guy told me later, I've just never sat down with people and connected with the depth of fellowship. Within 3 minutes, we're sharing
really?
The journey. And I said, you know what? I experienced that all over the world. I'm going to tell you, when people who are on a journey get together, fellowship is never an issue. If people are not on a journey, if they're just wanting to conform people to their way of looking at stuff.
Isn't that wild?
There's just nothing. I mean, then it's stay with weather, stay with football. You don't want to talk about faith and passion with somebody who wants to beat you to death with the latest theological.
When you're on a journey, there's no agenda other than you're on an exciting adventure.
Love you.
You're sorting it out.
And they said, at the end of the day, I feel closer bonded to some of the people that were in that room than people I've been in fellowship with for 20 years.
Because it's the genuineness of what you're dealing with.
Yeah.
That's where that's where you're living life.
Yeah. And then I went down to Gilbert and spent some time with a group of folks down there. It was a house church. I was real excited about seeing what the house church was like. It was literally church in the house. It was all the furniture gone, chairs in rows, worship team set up.
No.
A PowerPoint.
No.
I can tell you. It was the whole
thing.
That's
not a house church.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it's their house
church.
That's
a club.
Well, now.
Oh, sorry.
These are great people on a great journey. I love these people. And they're even struggling with, is this form working for us? Is this?
The rows and the all that stuff?
Yeah, the rows, the.
I think that so wars against relationship.
Well, there, you know, lots of people trying to make it work.
It's helpful for teaching.
It is helpful for teaching.
For the communication of information, and that can be wonderful. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great.
But we had a great time with them, fun to stack. And other people came to that who came to see me, and they had this little glazed look, and they're like, what are you doing in a place like this? I felt a little bad for them. And then we went out to barbecue lunch, one of the best barbecue places. I'm a connoisseur of barbecue.
You are.
I went to a great barbecue place. We chowed down, and then a bunch of folks came over the end and did some more talking. And then next couple of days, we worked on some books and then got to play golf with some brothers at the Arizona Biltmore.
Oh, I bet that was swanky.
Comped around. Yeah, saw Paul Harvey's house right on the first hole.
That's an announcer, dude.
Put a 5-iron right through his straight glass of no, I'm kidding. Didn't do it.
I got an email from one of our last podcasts.
Yep.
I heard from someone from New York.
Oh, good.
Ticked them off.
Oh, good. Why don't you bring email to me?
I got a cyber rebuke. And you know what? I took it like a wonderful man, and I just kind of repented. And I said, you know, I'm sorry. I said, I was there. I was pushed, and I assumed they were all from New York.
He said
most of them were tourists and visitors. And I went, I don't know how to tell the difference, but okay.
I tried to win you.
I know you did. I thought I was just jesting, but he was genuinely offended. So I genuinely apologized, and I told him I would then now make this public. I apologize to anyone out there in New York that was offended by my comments about the Macy's Day Parade.
Now, that's one of those apologies that says, I'm sorry if anyone might
have.
No. No, I shouldn't have said what I said about New York.
I shouldn't have said what I said about New York.
There you go. I like that.
There you go.
Yeah. Now we're going to hear from marlin and pelicans and Mexican fish
bandits.
Okay, we're going to hear from all those people.
Jared thought they were Mexican fish pandas, and I went, no, it's not pandas.
Boy,
that's a whole different animal.
That's why I thought Jesus was called a stew when I was growing up.
What?
We sang this little chorus in the little Baptist church. Jesus, he has called us too. He has called us also. But I always thought they were singing, he has called us Stew. And I'm going, I guess his name's Stew. So people say, what's his name? Well, some people say it's Jesus. Some people know him as Stew. I couldn't figure out. I'm thinking of meat chunks and broth. I don't know how this goes to Jesus.
I just reminded the kid in Sunday school where it's like they're asking the question. He says, gosh, you know, I'm thinking what they asked about. I think the answer's a squirrel, but I know we should say Jesus.
Yeah, particularly when there's a furry tail. Well, I found this comic the other day. This will make my entire holiday season. As many people know, I am an absolute fan.
Let me get my ears on. Hang on.
I am an absolute fan of the Christmas season. Man, I love the preparation.
I am. You're so full of balls.
I put my red suit on and my big
Sarah, call in. Wade's lying.
Sarah's out of town. You can't talk to Sarah.
Call in, Sarah.
I'm a big fan of this holiday.
You're a bah humbug.
I think all the preparations are worth it, time, all this kind of stuff.
I'm really ready to hear this.
And here's where this is Baby Blues. This is one of the comics in our paper out here, and I love this little comic. The two kids are 5 and 6, maybe young, and they're in this long line with their mom. And they're going. And one kid says to the other, so what are we doing again? And the daughter says, we're standing in line to get our picture taken with Santa. And he looks, the little boy looks at her and goes, and why are we doing it? And she says, because it's tradition.
Oh.
And so he stands a little bit and he goes, oh. And the panel leader goes, and what's tradition? And the sister says, I think it's French for boredom.
Oh, if that isn't the best.
That's a keeper.
Oh,
that's a keeper.
That is one great.
That's got to go up on the website. That's a keeper.
Oh, we can't do that. It violates all kinds of things.
Shoot.
Yeah, we can't.
Well, I gotta get that out of Xerox or nothing. That's hilarious.
You know what I thought instantly wasn't Santa Claus.
No.
I love Santa Claus. I love the season. I love celebrating Christmas with my children and grandchildren.
Let me see if we can get
I love
cahoots.
All. I love decorating the house. This is my favorite season. But boy, I tell you what. Now, some people love tradition. Love it. They, you know, if they can't go to a candlelight Christmas service in a... Some people love it.
Yeah, and I know a bunch of folks that, you know, the memories they have attached to meaningful events, they're huge, and they are everything to them. And part of me has zero argument. It's like, great, that is so neat.
That's the best kind of tradition. But if you think tradition is French for boredom, there's nothing wrong with you either. You're okay. You're absolutely okay. Because I'm kind of in that camp of things. I find things just to do by rote, and just because we've done it every week for the rest of our lives isn't good enough.
But tradition, trying to relive the beauty of a past event as if it's going to happen every time, I don't think that happens. I don't think it happens.
And if it does,
I'm watching a rerun.
Wouldn't it be more nostalgia than it is Holy Spirit? And I think...
That's beautiful. To think back, when Jesus said, hey, do this in remembrance of me, I don't think it was, you know what, I got this great tradition we're going to do. I think he's trying to say, no, take something that's awesome and wonderful and true that happened in the past and make it present with you again.
Relive it
Most. Yeah, let's enter into this as a fresh, new experience with the confidence of what this is. That, if that's what people mean by tradition, that's amazing.
That'd be wonderful.
But if it's just rehashing something, it's like leftovers.
Or what Jesus said about tradition. You know, just all your traditions are just things you've created to amuse yourselves. And I'm really leading you closer to Jesus. You know, just traditions of men. And it's not like that's bad. If you enjoy the tradition, great. But if you think it's godly... That's where it's French for boredom. That's what I think.
Keep those cards and letters coming.
Got some great email. I just wanted to share this from our time up in Prescott, Arizona. It wasn't about the podcast necessarily, though it's people that were there because they listened to this podcast and showed up. But I just want to share this. This is why I travel, to be honest. It was an incredible blessing and a pleasure to meet you during your recent trip to Arizona. I had a fabulous time and did not want to leave that evening. I wanted to continue to be part of such a wonderful conversation about Father. I wanted to let you know in the same way others have let you know, and this was in, for those who've heard the backstory, 272-point type in my email. I get it.
Wow.
I'm not sure exactly when it occurred to me, but at some point during Saturday's gathering at the youth camp in Prescott, the words you were saying and the topics being discussed took on an entirely new meaning for me. Bible verses that I have heard for years suddenly had new meaning, and I heard them in such a different way. It's awesome. Since Saturday, I've actually felt Father's love. So many of the walls have fallen. I'm looking at the world and the people in it with different eyes, hearing with different ears, perceiving
That's so
and
cool.
thinking with a different mind. It is absolutely awesome, brother. I know you won't take credit for it. No, I wouldn't be reading this if I tried to. I'm not even going to bother giving it to you. However, I think you were the vehicle Saturday Father used to deliver the message I was supposed to hear that day. It's the most awesome feeling I have ever experienced. I finally understand what joy is.
Oh, wow.
With a capital J.
Wow.
Isn't that a letter?
When life happens on the inside of somebody and it just, you know, it's that unstoppable reality, that is so cool.
That is just, and you know what?
No man can offer that.
Yeah. And I don't want people trying. I know other people say, I've been praying for 3 years. I've been to 75 meetings that Wayne has done. And I don't know how to answer where that happened. But I want to celebrate with people who have this kind of breakthrough in their life and experience.
Well, it's the encouraging reality that, you know what, I think God is the one that picks those times and moments, and whoever he wants to involve as vehicles to help make that happen. But what a neat, amazing thing for, it's like the light to get turned on the inside of someone that you just want to, you know what, I'm not trying to make this happen anymore. Something's real and undeniable for me. And I think that's the true legacy for everybody. I mean, anyone that's even frustrated, like, what didn't happen for me? You know what? You're not done yet.
It
isn't over.
This is at the heart of the gospel. Not, I bought into a new religion and I've got lots of more things to do with my life. Lots of more. That's a little Italian. I'm multilingual. I can even speak Mexican fish bandit or whatever. Anyway, from the guy who coined the word socially retarded, he said, I'm amazed at how humorous you found socially retarded. I guess using the word socially retarded is a little offensive, and I'm sorry if it came across the wrong way.
It's French for boredom.
This is the first apology we've ever gotten instead of people asking us for one. Lisa, I'm sorry. I'm 21, and the word just built into my vocabulary, meaning messed up. I hear younger people use it for a lot of meaning. At least it gave you guys a good laugh. Man, I'm so thankful for you. As you were reading my letter and shedding light and some stuff, the Holy Spirit was already speaking to me and my wife. I just looked over at her and saw the biggest smile I have seen on her face since our wedding day.
Oh!
Is that amazing? I really loved your input into some stuff. Was shocked that you would even read my letter on your podcast. We're doing it again! I know I don't find my validation from the God Journey site or from your comments, but you guys made me feel so loved today and so okay, and with where we are at spiritually and geographically, really made my day.
That
just wanted
so
to
cool.
thank you. That's why you read email, Brad. Sometimes
that is. I do.
Sometimes it's not
I
an
did.
Angry New Yorker.
You know, when I was down in Mexico, I could barely get most of my email, but the one I did get was the one that was rebuking me.
Yeah.
So I responded right away. I just had to go, oh, this must be just a divine appointment. I need to hear this. I'm sorry. And I just got to tell the guy.
Monica had a good idea. She said, I think we all need to invade Wayne or Brad's house on New Year's Eve and start the year being socially retarded together.
We'll be up in Shaver.
Monica, I will send you Brad's email. I will send you his house address. You guys go party over. He's not even going to be there. So.
I'll be up in Shaver. You're not going up Shaver?
And then Tom responded this way, and I think this is kind of goes back to our TACL podcast. Our
Tackle.
Tightly adjusted church lady or whatever. He said,
adjusted wasn't the word.
Oh, actually, he's referring to the one we did on the performance trap, because he said, it is the best summary of trying to live in the performance trap as believers. We call it here the crap cycle.
Oh, I like this already.
You would. Anytime Wayne's using risky language, people go nuts on this podcast. Here's the crap cycle. 1C, confess your sins. You're doing it wrong. R, repent of them, which repentance is truly defined as change your behavior. A, adjust that behavior so you can live right. P, perform. Try again to do the right behavior. And when you confess, repent, adjust, and perform, but fail, you get to confess, repent, adjust, and perform again. Say this enough times, and it could be the mantra for the 21st century church. The crap cycle. You found out about it right here on the God Journey. Oh.
Dude, you did that really well. Letterman's got some competition.
Well,
you,
I'm working. Leno's moving into prime time.
That great.
There you go.
Wow.
It's my gift. It's not much, but it's all I have.
That was really well done. The crap cycle. From tackle to crap.
Yeah, somebody wrote, it's been a year and a half still trying to understand the grace message. I've read The Shack, He Loves Me, You Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore, and others. I finally found your website and heard you guys say today, the journey could be 2 years, and wished I had heard that 2 years ago.
You can't laugh at Ted, poor Ted. No, but it's so true.
I know. He says, maybe the journey takes longer because of the business I'm involved in with taking a lot of my time. Maybe it takes so much to unravel it is years to wrap up.
It just
I
is
still
what
feel
it
like
is.
I'm not sure I get it. Each book has been like peeling another layer off, but have no idea how many layers to go. I haven't been reading my Bible every day like I used to. Prayer times aren't every day like they used to be. This is all pretty weird. See, now...
Yeah, but if there's no formula.
I know, but now people are going to say, you see what these books do? The Shack, He Loves Me, Don't Want to Go to Church Anymore.
Peels you and peels
people
you.
People stop
you.
Reading their Bibles and they stop praying. Is that good fruit or what?
Yeah.
I'm going...
Okay, add that to the list and I'll respond by email.
You know what? I love to say to people, this is a journey. And when you get off of trying to perform certain rituals.
Or trying to make it a series of events.
Yeah, and trying to slide into a reality. Does it sometimes get darker before it gets brighter? Yes.
Yes.
Is unraveling a part of our religious ways of thinking a big deal God does? It is a big deal God does. It can take time. During that time, there may be some withdrawal from Bible reading and prayer in the old ways you used to do it. So that God can give you a new way to engage the scriptures and to engage prayer in a way that's not so much checking things off your list, but connecting with the author who wrote it all.
It's a journey into an honesty with yourself, with others around you, where you're just not pretending, you're not trying, you are. And I mean, I love when God's name is I Am Who I Am. You know, it's like, guess what? There's something beautiful, very inhabited by him, when all of a sudden you just go like, you know what? It is what it is. Here's where I'm at. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I don't know if I'm early or I'm late. This is just where I'm at.
Yeah.
I think that's a very beautiful, inhabited place by the living God, and that's where he meets us. Where else could he meet us?
Yeah.
Except in the unveiled honesty of, well, this is what it is.
That's where you go.
Whether it's beautiful, whether it's ugly, whether you're happy with your performance, or you're completely humiliated by what you just did.
Yep.
If you can own those moments, gosh, that's where life is lived out.
And Carolyn says, I love Carolyn's little note here. Says, wow, I just listened to the podcast on not fending for yourself. I just want to thank you for the reminder that there is a period we all go through before we really reach the gratefully disillusioned state. Called the painfully disillusioned. We could do those shirts too.
Yeah.
That would be fair.
Yeah.
I'm laughing at myself because I was considering buying one of your mugs for some reason. I just kept feeling this check about it, and I wondered why. It's a mug, for crying out loud. I guess Papa knew I wasn't there yet.
Felt a check about it.
He must have known that if I bought it and put it in my desk at work, I wasn't ready to have the ensuing conversation. I like this. I thought I was grateful for having been brought to a place where I realized that religion was not cutting it. Then I start experiencing the pain and the bewilderment of the now what season.
And being a little ticked off.
And I'm finding it difficult because I've always been a rather introverted personality. Now I'm put in a place of just living loved. And while I absolutely adore the relationship that is growing with my father, I feel like the part about relating with his people is getting farther and farther away. I don't seem to have any real connections with anyone. It's a day-to-day journey, and some days are better than others. But what I'm learning is that there is no plan, no process, just the progression of a real and loving relationship with all its ups and downs and ins and outs. I like it.
See, that's real.
That is very real. And my heart goes out. I think one of the struggles is
man, when I start falling in with the whole crowd that enjoys the religious gymnastics and I'm not there anymore, then how do I find connections?
Oh, yeah.
Big question.
You feel like very odd man out.
Yeah, Dennis says this. This is very good and a very helpful podcast, referring to the same one. I'm glad that you talked about relationships with people still in the congregation. My experience has been that it really does not matter how you word your leaving, because it still comes across as rejecting your friends. When I was active in the congregation was my life. It was Sunday services all day, Monday night visitation, Tuesday night mission studies, Wednesday night service, Thursday night committee meetings, and Friday night and Saturday preparing the building and the rooms for Sunday. Now, that's busier than I was.
No, I knew that one.
My friends in the congregation still maintain that type of service. So as I left the congregation, I was leaving them. That
is how it feels to the rest that remain.
It does.
And I think when anyone does that, that tries to say, well, that's not what I'm doing. It's like, you know what? True. But that's not what they're feeling.
Exactly.
And if you can know that a little bit, then perhaps it doesn't have to become the civil war that sadly oftentimes it is, where brothers are killing brothers. Or you just go like, you know what? It's okay for them to feel like you're leaving and rejecting them. That's what they're feeling. You're not going to be able to reason them to feeling different.
That's why I like that Hawaii couple that just went on a sabbatical. They never said they were leaving the church. They just said we're on a sabbatical. And they've been on a sabbatical for like 10 years now. And it's just a big joke. But what's amazing is their friends all got through it. I absolutely love that. I know.
Don't leave. Take a sabbatical that is undefined in its time limit.
Just say, we're taking a break. We're taking a break. We still love you guys. We'll go hang out. If you're doing something fun, we'll come. But we're not doing tradition anymore. We found the meaning of tradition. It's French for boredom. I know I'm going to hear from Silvio here. I don't know. This reminded me. Silvio's our French-speaking guy. He's going to tell me it's not French.
Oh, you've made my day.
You know the Darth Vader picture we put up a few weeks ago?
Yes, I do.
There's a video.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Somebody said, I've had five people this last week send me the link to the video. And I guess I'm going to have to dig it up because now people are going to go, okay,
where's the link?
But it's the whole procession. And they do the Star Wars. And this nice little procession with monks and all the stuff.
So where does Darth Vader come from?
People are taking pictures and laughing. And I just go, okay, was this a setup? Did these people in front not know Darth Vader was behind them?
I don't think they do.
I have laughed so hard. It's just, oh, gosh. Let me digress. But I, you know, even some of the folks I was with in Prescott, the hunger to say, my biggest fear going on this journey is two big fears. One is I'm going to end up alone, because what if people are not going to affirm me anymore and thus feel threatened by me and then push me aside? And that happens.
And that's not so bad.
And the other fear that I get that we need to talk about sometime, because people just are all over my case, you and Brad need to talk about child rearing and child discipleship outside the deal. And I know we've done it in Children Unplugged and some other podcast backaways, but the two biggest fears are, what do I do about those two things? And I think you want to recognize about both of those things is their fears.
If you
live to the fears.
There you go.
And that's what I think religion has done well. It's not you enjoy us, you need us. What are you going to do if we're not serving it up for you every week? And it is a risk. And what I tell people about the connecting part, Sarah and I are fixing to move again. We really didn't plan on moving this. And I made a joke a few months ago about we know too many people here. We're busy every night. It must be time to move. We actually are moving.
Closer my way.
We are moving up your way a little closer, but maybe. We're still trying to work out all the details for that, but it looks more and more likely. But, you know, all we've done wherever we've lived, the last two moves we've made, is we just start loving the people that are right in front of us. I'm not worried about what journey they're on. I'm not worried about if they know the God I know. For Pete's sakes, recently we met someone who was Buddhist. It was in our home. And Sarah's going, are you okay with that? I'm going, where else would I want a Buddhist to be except my house? with people I know. I'm really cool with it. I don't need to get down and have
a... Oh, no! A Buddhist is in my
house! Get out of my house! You're gonna leave,
what's going to happen?
You're going to leave Buddhist cooties on my couch! And you can't have Buddhist cooties on your couch, or Mormon cooties. You know, really, this journey...
That is so absurd, the fear, but I do remember it.
Remember the days?
Oh,
God. You're with the Buddhist map? Yeah, the camp we were at. I'm not going to talk about some of the camps. The camp we were at was, it's a Christian camp, and now they're renting a week to Muslims and a week to Jews, have a camp at their...
Oh, no.
At the Christian camp. And they're going, could this be a problem with our supporters? I'm going, your board hasn't wrestled with this yet, because I would think this is a board question. Because, yeah, are people going to think that somehow this is tainted because Muslims were here? Jews are not going to be as big a problem. Jews are okay. Because they're...
You can find some Old Testament verses that make that okay.
They're mostly right. They just missed one little bit. But the Muslims, oh my gosh, that's evil. And you certainly wouldn't want them in your house eating at your table because I don't
something's
know.
Something's going to get left and get you.
Something's going to stain. That's oh, it's just...
Golly. I remember that way of thought.
I do, too. That's why it's funny. That's why it's hilarious. But they actually decided we could have them, but they made them sign a contract that you can say nothing while you're here on this camp that refutes the deity of Jesus Christ.
Muslim people sign that?
Well, you know, here's the signing. You can't do this, you know. Wink, wink. And the guy goes, all right, we won't. Wink, wink. Because somebody has to be sated with the fact nobody's going to follow it. It's hilarious. We play these religious games because we want to say, okay, we're not really going...
What's that French for? That's just messed up.
So we're going to be generous and let you use our camp.
Wink, wink.
But we're going to make rules that you can't believe what you believe.
Wink, wink. Wow.
I remember the first wink wink I got.
You're excited to be here, right? Wink, wink. That'll be the greeting.
Loving the camp here.
Greeting.
Wink, wink. Oh.
Wink, wink.
Hilarious.
Why does that happen? I am befuddled in my own thinking right now.
I told them, I said, I will absolutely guarantee you there are groups who will not rent the week after a Muslim group. If they know... A Muslim group has been here the previous week.
Yeah, there's going to be big old spirits there that somehow will infect other people through osmosis.
And if a microphone gets static during the worship?
Oh, yeah, you have to cast that out.
That's
you
what happens.
You
have
to exercise
there you go.
There's a Muslim trail left back.
Oh. But they were asking, I love being with this camp staff. One of the things they were asking me was, and this led to an interesting discussion. I got an email about this the other day saying, I would love for you guys to talk about this more. And they weren't at the camps. They didn't know I'd be dialogued on this. And I was saying, I'm kind of in uncharted waters. I've never talked about this publicly. So I could really mess this up. I like to warn people. I've not been down. I'm thinking.
Sort of like a podcast.
I'm actually thinking while I'm talking, which I don't often do.
So. I do that all the time. That's why I have to have emails that rebuke me.
Because you don't think while you talk? Or you think?
I do think while I talk. But I sometimes have first thoughts that I've never really processed through.
And
I say them.
We were talking because they were saying, how do we make this camp and kids coming to this camp, how do we make it a more relational experience so that when they leave here, they want to be connected to God? And so what kind of services would we run? What kind of requirements would we put on the kids? And it was kind of going down this road of saying, see, here's the deal. Right passion. The passion's beautiful. How do we want kids to leave here infected with a desire to know the living God?
To have just an awesome time at the camp.
And then how do we embed that in the camp rules?
You got to pause right there. That will never happen. That's like setting up tradition and hoping that taking your picture with Santa is going to be wonderful.
And if it's not, you do it anyway because it is tradition.
Wink, wink.
And it's wonderful.
We love it.
And
wink,
he will
wink.
Bring you all the toys you promised.
Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. Yeah, you go. Anyway, this whole contrast, and I've heard other people, it's been around a long time. People talk about the difference between left-handed power and right-handed power. Right-handed power is the ability to compel, to conform, to make somebody do what you want them to do.
Because of strength.
Yeah, because you're bigger. You've got consequences that can be meted out. So you can do it. And on the other hand, there's a talk about left-handed power, which is not the power of compulsion. It's the power of an indestructible life. I want to listen to that person because they have words of life, not because they can
make
me do
it. It's undeniably true.
Isn't that? And what Jesus did in coming and in fulfilling the law for us, I think this is absolutely bedrock critical to the New Testament, is that he gave up the right-handed power of law and consequence to deal with the left-handed power of love and life and glory and joy and trust. And we kind of mapped this out for them. And I said, so here's what you're thinking. Most of we're going to have a camp that now undergirds the right relational realities. You got to not think about right-handed power. You can't make this happen. You can't make it happen for anyone that comes here.
I just have a desire to be a left-handed person.
But you can live in such a way and love in such a way and engage lives in such a way that there may be some among your campers. Anything you try and make happen for all, and this is what religion has done since the beginning of human history, and Christianity just picked it up as another tool that thought it could work it, is we will make you, through fear and obligation, conform to a vibrant life in Jesus Christ. And it just when you say it that way, you go, oh, shit.
All right, that's going to work. Yeah, wink, wink.
But that's, I think the undergirded deception of religion is we can find the reality of living loved and living engaged with the God of all through any system of tradition, habit, obligation. That's not where the reality that our brother found in Prescott, he didn't find it inside the rules, rituals, performances. I've got to find. He found a Jesus whose love is undeniable, whose character is compelling. Jesus, that's what I love about the whole New Testament discussions in the Gospels. Jesus has absolutely zero institutional power in the whole of the Gospels. He's not a Pharisee. He doesn't own a synagogue. He's not a mayor of Nazareth. He's got no authority whatsoever except his life. And his life threatened all the other people. What are you doing this for? And the people would say, what great authority this man has. This man had no right-hand power. And his left-handed power was more authority, more life, more transformation. But it wasn't making anybody do anything.
Yeah, see.
It was offering.
The people that came in Prescott, I'll guarantee you, they came not expecting, demanding, they're going to have a great time. Hunger brought them. Reality happened.
Yeah.
When you try to contrive this stuff, it's like, you know, two polarized magnets that are the same. It repels. You can't make any of this stuff happen.
Hold it. Please be careful here. I'm starting 2009. I have a whole series of Prescott seminars. I'll be doing all over the world, and I'm charging big bucks. So I don't want you raining on. We can't duplicate. Yeah, because I want to.
The Prescott.
There's
outpouring.
A ministry to be had here, and you are raining on my parade, my friend.
See, but I think that's where there is often a profound misstep.
Wink.
It's like you can't make that happen for somebody. You can't make people fall in love. It happens. And it gloriously happens. And you can celebrate when it does, but you can't make it happen. I think so oftentimes, I mean, when you're with family around times of holidays.
What?
You ever been
with family? Holidays?
Yeah. Well, it's our tradition.
This is my favorite season. I love this holiday.
Yeah, no, Bob. Like,
what are you saying?
Sarah, call in.
Sarah. We're taping.
I know.
We're taping.
I know that. The reality is when you try, like, we're going to have a meaningful time. You know what? You might have just a few moments ago, and you might as soon as you're done trying. But that effort that's going to somehow make it happen, when someone has that desire and will, they're just going to try to make it happen. It's almost as if that becomes the most elusive thing. So you know what? You live life and you can enjoy what is. But if you try to make it happen, I think you rob yourself of some of the serendipitous reality of just when it's real.
And you're going to frustrate yourself to no end.
Yeah.
Because you're going to create traditions. And you're going to stand in line, hoping they work. And everybody, I love the honesty of this little kid. But why are we doing it?
Why are we doing it?
Tradition.
He doesn't even want to talk to Santa Claus.
Okay, I love that.
Thank you for traveling with us on the God Journey. You can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.